The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 43, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 14th, 2014, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Iya Chatrabandhu Mbhuvi Tasya Anhivrudham Anu Aru Rukshet Api Varsha Pugai Sat Pancha Varsha Yat Ahobi Alpai Pasadya Vaikuntam Avapa Tatparam Yachatrabandur Vavitasya Dirudam Anvara Rukshadapi Varsha Pugai Shang Pancha Varsha Yadaho Biralpai Pasanya Vaikundam Avapya Tatpadam Yachatrabandhur Bhuvitasya Dirudam Anvara Rukshadapi Varsha Pugai Shat Pancha Varsha Yadaho Biralpai Pasadya Vaikuntam Avapa Tatpadam Ya, one who, Hindi, Chatrabandhu, the son of a Kshatriya. We'll let them repeat the English and then you can do the Hindi and be like an echo in a Hindi. Bhuvi, on the earth. Tasya, of Dhruva. Andirudam, the exalted position. Anu, after. Aru Rukshet, can aspire to attain. Api, even. Barshapugai, after many years. Shat Pancha Varsha, 5 or 6 years old. Yet, which? Aho Bialpai, after a few days. Prasadya, after pleasing. Vaikuntam, the Lord, Avapa, attained, Tatpadam, his abode. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position at the age of only 5 or 6 years. After undergoing austerity for 6 months, alas, a great Kshatriya cannot achieve such a position even after undergoing austerities for many, many years. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj is described here as Kshatrabandhu, which indicates that he was not fully trained as a Kshatriya because he was only 5 years old. He was not a mature Kshatriya. A Kshatriya or Brahman has to take training. A boy born in a family of a Brahman is not immediately a Brahman. He has to take up the training and the purificatory process. The great sage Narada Muni was very proud of having a devotee disciple like Dhruva Maharaj. He had many other disciples, but he was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj because in one lifetime, by dint of his severe penances and austerities, he had achieved Vaikuntha, which was never achieved by any other king, son, or Rajarsi throughout the whole universe. There is the instance of the great king Bharat, who was also a great devotee, but he attained Vaikuntha Loka in 3 lives. In the first life, although he executed austerities in the forest, he became a victim of too much affection for a small deer, and in his next life he had to take birth as a deer. Although he had a deer's body, he remembered his spiritual position, but still he had to wait until the next life for perfection. In the next life he took birth as Jadbharat. Of course, in that life he was completely free from all material entanglement, and he attained perfection and was elevated to Vaikuntha Loka. The lesson from the life of Dhruva Maharaj is that if one likes, one can attain Vaikuntha Loka in one life without waiting for many other lives. My Guru Maharaj Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada used to say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Loka in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. One simply has to become as serious and sincere as Dhruva Maharaj, then it is quite possible to attain Vaikuntha Loka and go back home, back to Godhead, in one life.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vara Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Himate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschad Yadesha Tarine.
So, this purport is special mercy. Because elsewhere in his books, Srila Prabhupada says it is not possible to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So, actually it is not possible to go back in one lifetime. But if one follows in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, it becomes possible to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So now we have to ask ourselves, would I like to go back to Godhead in this lifetime? Let me see your show of hands. How many of you in this room would like to go back to Godhead in this lifetime? Jai. Okay, now we got our marching orders from Prabhupada. To get this desire fulfilled, we have to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. So we should study about this great devotee, a 5-year-old boy who became the greatest devotee. We have to study him. This 5-year-old boy who became the greatest devotee. How did he achieve this success? I can tell you how. He was very, very determined. Even though in the beginning his determination was material, because he approached the Lord to fulfill his material desire, he got purified and he became the great pure devotee. I think you all know the story. He was the son of King Uttanapada. And there were two queens, Sumruchi and Suniti. Suniti was his mother, and the other mother was Sumruchi. So he had a brother who was the son of Queen Sumruchi. And both of the brothers, they wanted to play on the lap of the king. So Sumruchi, she was the favored queen of the king. And she said to Dhruva, "You cannot play on your father's lap, only my son can play on your father's lap." So from this simple incident, this young boy, he can understand this means I'm not going to get any kingdom. My brother will get the kingdom and I will not get anything. So he was very disturbed. He went to his mother, "My dear mother, what to do? Father will not let me play on his lap." Suniti said, What can I do, my dear boy? He loves Sumruchi more than he loves me. What can I do? But I want a kingdom greater than my father's." He's very determined. "How can I get a kingdom?" he wanted to know. So his mother said, "My dear boy, There's one person who can give you whatever you want, and that is Lord Vishnu. So, if you will go to the forest, the great sages, they are able to see him there. So, I cannot help you. But Lord Vishnu, he can help you. So you go to the forest and then you can meet Vishnu there. So the young boy, he gives up the palace. He goes to live in the forest without any fear of the wild, of the tigers, or how to eat, of heat and cold. No fear, he goes to the forest. And the sage Narada Muni, he comes to the forest. I see you're a young boy, you're a prince. Why are you here in the forest? You don't belong here in the forest. You should be back in the palace. You're a young Kshatriya boy. My dear sage, I have come to this forest because I want to see Vishnu. So Narada tested him. He said, actually, you should go home. You shouldn't stay here in the forest. So you know what Dhruva told Narada? If you were telling me to go home, then I'm telling you to go home. I will stay in this forest until I see Lord Vishnu. So Narada can see, yes, this boy is a very determined boy. And he gave him this mantra. We just chanted the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he chanted this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya mantra, and within 6 months, Krishna Garba, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to him. And Dhruva, when he actually saw the Lord himself, he was thinking, what a fool I was. I was hankering for this worldly kingdom. I was hankering for this worldly kingdom. But now by having this darshan of Krishna Garba, I have achieved the rarest gem. This kingdom I was seeking, it was like a broken piece of glass lying on the street. It had no value. But now I have seen God Himself. This is greater than any kingdom. So, in this way, he became qualified to achieve the Vaikuntha realm. And because he had had that strong desire, he was given a kingdom greater than his father's. He was given his own planet, Dhruva Loka, from which he ruled the entire universe for thousands and thousands of years. If you have studied Vedic cosmology, then you know there is a partial destruction every night time of Lord Brahma. But Dhruva's planet is not annihilated during the night time of Lord Brahma. Actually, it is described as an eternal planet. A spiritual planet. It is the pole star. All the universe, all the stars in the universe, they do parikrama around Dhruva Loka.
Brahmand
So now that we've studied the Leela of this great Vaishnava Acharya, the next question is this. How can I apply this to my life as a brahmachari or a householder? I'm not going to be going to the forest to see Vishnu. I'm not going to give up my house or my position in the brahmachari ashram, go live in the forest. Actually, this boy, he did very severe penances. Dhruva did very severe penances. He gave up all eating. No eating. And then he gave up water also. No water. And then he gave up breathing also. No breathing. You can just imagine the severity of his austerities. So we are not able to do these austerities. We need our prasadam. We need our prasadam. We're having breakfast in a few minutes. We need some water. And we're all breathing, sitting here breathing. Inhaling, exhaling. We're not able to give these things up. So what is the hope if we can follow Dhruva's footsteps and go back to Godhead in this lifetime? What is our hope? Well, I can tell you what our hope is. Just as Dhruva followed Narada Muni and became a pure devotee, if we will follow our pure devotee, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, we will become pure devotees. That's all. All you have to do is become a completely dedicated follower of Srila Prabhupada. Did you ever wonder why we study Prabhupada's books every day in our classes? Because we are meant to understand and to strictly follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Simply by this humble surrender to the teachings of Prabhupada, Prabhupada Vani, you see? We will become pure devotees. And we will go back to Godhead. I was just reading the other day, actually, if you want to go back to Godhead, Prabhupada says you have to be a pure devotee. If you're an impure devotee, you have to take another birth. So that means we all have to endeavor every day and every minute for that mood of pure bhakti. Karma Mishra Bhakti will not do. Jnana Mishra Bhakti, forget it. Yoga Mishra Bhakti, no way. I received one letter from Srila Prabhupada. He said, no karma, no jnana, and no yoga, all material desires, zero. That is pure bhakti. So we have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And we have to get initiated. And we have to obey him. We have to obey his instructions. So does that mean I will get initiated by Srila Prabhupada? No. Prabhupada told us here in Vrindavan on October 18th, 1977 that I will stop initiating. And he instructed that his disciples, they would take over initiating at that point. So we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada by getting initiated by one of Prabhupada's disciples. Because that is the instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave. That after I leave, the new devotees, they will become the disciples of my disciples. So one should seek out if one is serious to go back to Godhead, he will seek out a spiritual master who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Now some people say, well, you know, there's so many gurus, I can't really decide. I've been waiting for about 20 years to get initiated, and I can't really decide because there's so many gurus, you know. Prabhupada said, such a person is not serious. That's like saying, well, I'd like to get an engineering degree. But there's... I really want to get an engineering degree. But I haven't enrolled in any university because there's so many different engineering schools, so I haven't enrolled in any of them. I've been waiting for 20 years to go to enroll at a school, but there's so many I can't decide which one to go to. That means he's not serious about being an engineer, you see? He's not serious. If he's serious about being an engineer, he'll pick a good school and he'll enroll, that's all. So if you're serious about becoming a pure devotee and going back to Godhead, you'll pick a spiritual master, you'll get initiated, you'll give your life to follow his instructions. It's a simple thing. So in this way, by taking shelter of the spiritual master, by getting initiated by the spiritual master, and by obeying the instructions of the spiritual master, then you will be truly following the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, and you will qualify yourself to become a pure devotee and go back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. So now I can ask for questions. We've passed some papers around, so you can write questions down. If you have a question and you don't have a piece of paper, raise your hand, and Shreyas here will give you some paper to write your question on it. According to the Bhagavatam, Siddha Goswami and Parikshit are called the first Adhikari of Srimad Bhagavatam. My question is, for what quality are they called Adhikari? Nard and Vyas are called second Adhikari. Suta and Shonak Muni are called third Adhikari. So Adhikar means privilege or empowerment. An Adhikari means one who is empowered. So, therefore, Parikshit and Sutta being in the first line of the first hearers of the Bhagavatam, they are called first Adhikari. Because they were first, they heard directly from Shukadeva. Sutta and Parikshit heard directly from Shukadeva Goswami, therefore they're called first Adhikari. So in this way you can become the Adhikari of the Adhikari of the Adhikari. That's called the disciplic succession. Okay, oh, we got a lot of questions here. Hare Krishna. Okay. All right. Dhruva Maharaj approached the Lord with material desire. But in the modern society, people also approach Lord Krishna. Those are called karmis or karmakandis. For them, devotional service. In other words, people approach Krishna for also material desires. So what's the difference? Well, I can tell you, generally people do not approach Krishna to fulfill material desire. Generally they approach the demigods to fulfill their material desire. But even if they do approach Krishna to fulfill material desire, they are different from demigod worshippers. Different. That's different. Bhagavatam says, if you have material desires, approach Krishna. Actually, there are many examples of people who approach Krishna with material desires and became pure devotees. I don't know if I have time to tell all these stories. But there was one thief. He went into a Bhagavatam class to see if he could steal something. That's why we advise, look out for pickpockets in the temple, you see. Look out for pickpockets in the temple. So he went to the Bhagavatam class to see if he could eat steel, you see. He was pickpocket, you see. But he heard the Bhagavatam, the devotee who was giving the class, he said, in Vrindavan there's a little boy named Krishna. He's wandering about the forest without any parental supervision. And he is loaded with valuable jewels. So that thief went, wow, I'm going to go to Vrindavan, I'm going to find that little boy, and I'll become a millionaire overnight. So he headed out to Vrindavan. Many days walking across India. He didn't take Jet Airways or Indian Railways. He walked across India. So finally he got to Vrindavan. And he's wandering many days in Vrindavan. Where is that boy? Where is that boy? Where is that boy? And Krishna is so merciful that even though he simply came for Krishna Darshan to steal his jewels, Krishna revealed himself to that pickpocket. And so, what did he say? Oh Krishna, you're loaded with so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some, please? Krishna said, no, 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 no. Mother Jasoda, she was very angry. No, 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 no. But then by being in the presence of Krishna, by seeing Krishna with his own eyes right before him. That thief became completely free from all material desires. He became the Shuddha Bhakta, the pure devotee of Krishna. Then Krishna said, you can take as many jewels as you want. So even if you have material desires, if you are very eager, you are very intense in your desire to see Krishna, Krishna will bless you with his darshan. And you'll become liberated soul. How do we know that the spiritual master is testing us to reveal the confidential knowledge? In other words, Dhruva was tested by Narada. Go home. So, and he refused to follow that order. So if our Guru Maharaj, if our spiritual master gives us an order, how do we know if he really means it or it's just a test? The spiritual master says, I don't think you're very serious about devotional service, just go home. So you'd be like a little puppy dog, you know, just put your tail between your legs and go home? Or just say, no, Guru Maharaj, I'm going to be determined. I want to stay here and serve you. So how do you know whether it's a test or he really means it? I can give you the answer. You ask him, Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do? I'm fully surrendered to you. Just tell me now. If you want me to go home, I'll go home. If you want me to stay here and serve you, whatever you tell me to do, I'm your fully surrendered servant. You just instruct me and I'll do whatever you say. Inquiring humbly was Dhruva Maharaj favored because of his young age? Many rishis and sages followed severe austerities for millions of years, determination, but did not achieve success. Was he given special mercy for being a little kid? Little child. Was he given special mercy because he was a little child? Dhruva Maharaj deserved it because of intense desire. It wasn't his age, it was intense greed to see Krishna that got him that darshan. How did you come to ISKCON, Prabhu? By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful devotee, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. If we had an hour, I could tell you the whole story. But then you would all miss prasadam. And I think you're still eating prasadam. You're not doing Dhruva's austerity of giving up eating. So you have to wait for my autobiography to come out and then you can buy one copy. I'm writing it right now. What is a Yoga Mishra Bhakta? Someone who wants to do mystic yoga at the same time wants to develop bhakti. He's attached to having mystic powers. At the same time, he wants to be a devotee. But that's actually foolish, because his desire for mystic powers will prevent him from actually achieving Krishna. If he would simply give up his desire for mystic powers and desire only Krishna, he would get Krishna, and all the Ashta cities would become his. There are 8 types of mystic perfection, and the pure devotee possesses all of them, although he rarely displays them. There are many examples of how Prabhupada sometimes explained his mystic powers. Just like one time, the devotees were on a morning walk, and there was an airplane flying from Delhi towards Bombay. And Prabhupada pointed the airplane. He said, "That airplane is going to Delhi." The devotee said, "No, Srila Prabhupada. That airplane is going from Delhi to Bombay. Can't you see the direction it's flying?" Prabhupada said, "No, that airplane is going to Delhi." And then the airplane made a 180 degree turn. It turned around and went back the opposite direction towards Delhi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. You said that one should surrender to the spiritual master. How should one surrender, and how can one understand the essence of surrender? It is very, very simple. Whatever your Guru Maharaj orders you, you accept that as your life and soul. That's all. What is the difficulty? If you can't figure it out, just study the example of our Srila Prabhupada. He was ordered by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to spread the message of Krishna to the English-speaking world. He took that order as his life and soul and dedicated himself. What is the right time to take diksha? As soon as you're serious to get out of this material existence. That's when you should take diksha. Now, no more questions, but time is running out. So no more questions for today. Why our shelter nomination? Why our determination not fixed like Dhruva Maharaj? Why our determination is not fixed like Dhruva Maharaj to go back to Gaya? Why you shouldn't be as fixed as Dhruva Maharaj is my question. Actually, that's what they're asking. Why are we not? Well, it's the Kali Yuga. It's an age of bad association. There's another little boy who was very naughty. His name was Sringi. He poisoned the world society with his curse. Because of Sringi's curse, we are lacking the determination of Dhruv. It's Sringi's fault. Because he poisoned us. But what is the opposite of poison? Every poison has an antidote that takes away the poison. What is the antidote? Lord Chaitanya's movement. If you will take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda and Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, you'll become free from the curse of that Sringi rascal. And you will develop the determination of Dhruva Maharaj. How a lady disciple should follow the instructions of her guru as her husband is having a different guru. Well, if the husband's guru is an ISKCON guru, there should be no problem. Because all the gurus are simply giving you Prabhupada's teaching. There's no difference. But if the guru is not, the husband's guru is not in our sampradaya, there could be some problems. You have to follow your spiritual master. And you have to train up your husband to allow you to follow your spiritual master. That's it. No difference between the deity and the Lord. But sometimes we see the Bajaris steal the ornaments of the Lord. Are ISKCON Pujaris are stealing the deity's ornaments? Is there any history? I've not heard of such a thing. Now, outside of ISKCON, sure. This means they're not really servants of the Lord. They're servants of their senses. These are called the Divija Bandhus, the so-called Brahmins. They're simply interested to take advantage of the deities and get big, big bellies. We are not interested in big, big bellies. There's even that, you know that that Bengali saying, "Banda bara bara bandala bara bara pe, lunga dinka," something like that. Big monkey, big big belly, Ceylon jumping melancholy. Hanuman could jump to Lanka. But there was one monkey, he also wanted to jump to Lanka. But he had been eating too many ladus. He had a big, 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 big belly, and he could not jump like Hanuman. So don't overeat. Don't be one of these so-called Brahmins who gets fat and just wants to get lazy, smoke some ditty behind the altar. You become a Pakka Brahmana in the line of Prabhupada. Sense control. This you must do. Shama, you must have equanimity. You must be equal to happiness and distress. Dhamma, you must control your senses. Tapa, you must be austere. You must rise early in the morning and take your bath. Shall chum, always remain clean within and without. Chantir, be very tolerant person. Gyanam, understand the Vedic wisdom perfectly. Vigyanam, apply it perfectly. And astikam, have full faith in the words of Guru and Krishna and the scriptures. We don't want any so-called Brahmins who are stealing the jewelry from the deities in this movement. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.